If I only had one song that I could sing you, one more story I could tell before I leave. If I only had one message I could bring you, there's no question it would be about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross. I could sing about the state of grace I live in, or the peace and joy I have when times are tough. I could talk of all the blessings I've been given, but in the end, my life is just about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross. 2,000 years ago, if I'd watched him die, I think I would have lost all hope, demanded to know why. But now I know the cross means everything, and it's the greatest honor to sing about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful, something incredible, there's something wonderful about the cross.
For the cross, amen. Without the cross of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his blood shed, we have no hope, we have no eternal life, we have no salvation or hope of heaven, but I'm thankful for the cross. We're going to be in Luke chapter 8 this morning. If you turn your Bibles there, Luke chapter number 8, and as you're able, would you stand to your feet as we read the Word of God this morning? Luke chapter number 8, the third of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Chapter 8, and we'll begin reading in verse number 26. Luke chapter number 8. I'll wait till I hear not too many pages rustling around. And Luke chapter 8 and verse number 26. The Bible says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.' And he had commanded, for he commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven out of the devils into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it to the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he had was possessed of the devils was healed. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we pray for your help today, Lord, with the message, Lord, with the truth. And Lord, I think of this man that you changed his life in one day and one moment, Lord. And I'm thankful for that day that you came by my way and changed my life. Thankful for the cross and for the salvation that you freely offer. I pray if there's anyone here today that does not know you as their Savior, don't know 100% sure if they died today, they will go to heaven. Please, Lord, today save their soul. May they humbly cry out to you and ask for salvation. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated in Luke chapter number 8 as you keep your Bibles there. And we see Jesus, he crossed over the Sea of Galilee by ship and came to this country of the Gadarenes. And as he came to this place, he came to speak to one man. Now, as Jesus, of course, knows all things and is God, he came to find this man that we name the maniac of Gadara. We don't know his name. We don't know much about him other than what the passage tells us here. And when they arrived, they came to this place of Gadara and was there with the disciples. And it seems as if Jesus maybe went by himself to go and see this man and had an appointment. Are you thankful that Jesus Christ has a special plan and special timing and cares for each and every person, no matter who they are, where they are, what they're doing? He came to the land and went to meet this man. We don't know his name. He's just referred to as we would know him as the maniac of Gadara. We don't know how long he was there. He had been there for some period of time, as it would see in a few verses later, that number of times they would chain him up and he would break himself from these chains and would break loose. So he was there for a good period of time. How long it was, we don't know. We don't know what got him there. We don't know his background. We don't know how he was raised. We don't know if he had religion or someone that taught him about the Lord. But some way, somehow, he got to this place in his life and was living amongst the tombs. Picture it. As Jesus goes there, he's not clothed. He's been bound with chains many times and would break loose. And no doubt he had scars and maybe chains hanging off of him still. And I can imagine a very hairy person and dirty and just a wild person. The person that you would meet and you would want to run the other direction. That you would hide your children and say, don't go around there because there was something wrong with this man. He was possessed with devils. But many times when we go to run away from someone and we think, no, we don't want to talk to that person. And Jesus Christ many times goes directly to that person. And he came off the ship and he came to this country of the Gadarenes and came to the talk to this man that was out of his mind. Out of his mind. You see, many times people walk in the streets for whatever reason, and I don't know, but are just out of their minds. And just, they're gone. Their mind is gone because of decisions they made or mental condition they have. And you would think, stay away from that person. They're dangerous. But Jesus Christ came directly to this man's life. And when he left, this man's life was changed forever. Was changed forever. The people were scared anytime they came near him. I want you to see first about this man that he had a wrecked life. He had a wrecked life. In verse number 27, it says, and when he went to the land, there met him a man, a certain man, and he had devils long time. He had devils long time. He was possessed with devils. Demons, devils of Jesus Christ. People literally are possessed with devils today. As a saved person, you cannot be possessed and indwelt by a devil because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. This man was a lost man. He did not know Jesus. He did not know the Savior, and he was possessed of devils that the Bible says that they tormented him. When Jesus Christ came, he would the devils would speak out and say, "Torment us not." They were tormenting this man's life. They were tormenting to the point where he was living amongst the tombs. No clothes. People every once in a while would come to try to capture him and to chain him up because they were scared for their lives. Maybe trying to protect him from himself, and he would break loose from them. Maybe similar kind of a strength to Samson, and just couldn't be bound by anything. And he was a crazy man that no one wanted to be around. The Bible says he did not live in a house. He lived amongst the tombs, no clothes, and dwelt by demons. The Bible says they called themselves legion, for we are many, referring to a Roman amount of soldiers. I was reading maybe between 4,000 and 6,000 Roman soldiers that had taken over his life and his body. And he was tormented, living torment, a wrecked life. And as you think about that, that is what sin does to somebody's life. That's what sin does to someone's life. And many times people think, well, I'm just playing around with sin. It's not a big deal. And I'm just going to go and try a few things. And you think, I'm never going to get to that place in my life. If anyone ever thought they would get to that place in their life, would they ever play around with sin? I don't believe so. Many times the devil tells people this is, it's going to be great. You're going to love it. You're going to be popular and beautiful and have all the possessions. But it's a lie from the devil that he's selling to people, and they don't realize that they are selling themselves to bondage. They're enslaving themselves to sin, and a person that gets to that place in their life and realizes that it's all gone, it's lost, it's destroyed, because they lived their life away from God, and it's a wrecked life. There is pleasure in sin, the Bible says, for a season. It's for a moment, but the Bible says when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. It bringeth forth death. It will destroy everything in your life. And I think about this man before you and I were saved. That was our life. It was wrecked by sin. Amen? You say, I wasn't that bad. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Whether or not you were in that kind of phase in your life or that far away from the Lord or from society, we all had a wrecked life. Wrecked by sin. Bound by chains and on our way to hell, a wrecked life with no hope, no future, no God to look to, a wrecked life. We see he had an empty life, an empty life. There was no joy there. There was no peace. There was no happiness. And maybe when his life started out, for whatever the decisions were, we can't look and find in Scripture what's not there, but whatever decisions got him there, he must have thought that this would bring him happiness in his life. He must have thought this was going to bring him joy in his life. That this was going to be what the world says is what you need in your life. And in the end, he was empty. He had no home. He had no friends. He had no family. Had no clothes. Living amongst the tombs. It was an empty life. And when we live our lives away from God, it's a wrecked life, isn't it? Whether a saved or an unsaved person, if you live your life away from God, it's an empty life. It's a wrecked life. You can try your very best to make it the best that you can, but it's still living amongst the tombs and among the dead. It's still living an empty life with no hope, with no joy, no happiness, no future. A very empty life. This man, he had a tormented life. He was tormented by these demons that had taken over his body, that possessed him and in his life. And these demons had tormented and tortured his life. It was a tortured life. This man, his life was going downward. No one around him thought he had any hope, no future, no help, because everyone had tried everything they could do, but it was just going downhill. But then we see that something turns around. This man that had a wrecked life, an empty life, a tormented life, this man was loved. Maybe he had no family that cared about him. Maybe they were the ones that tried to help him, but he rejected all the help because he could figure it out on his own, or he had got himself so deep that he couldn't get out until Jesus came his way. Think about it. This story is bleak and dark, and as you picture it in your mind, it's a sad story, isn't it? It's a sad story to think that someone's life could be that so far away. He had a parent out there somewhere, right? Maybe he had children, maybe a spouse, and things had gone so far downhill that he had ruined everything around him until Jesus came by. He had a wrecked life, but he was a loved man. And as Jesus came his way, the person that everyone else would run away from, Jesus went directly to him. He went directly to him. I don't know if your children are like this, but there's times in our family where we'll go in a situation and you kind of see a person that is maybe not safe to be around. And as any good parent would, you kind of protect your kids and, you know, just kind of keeping an eye out, you know. And there's times where we do that. And it's funny how our kids will, like, go start talking to the person that I'm trying to, like, get them away from. And I'm thinking, no, don't talk to them. And they're like, you know, let's go, you know, hi, how are you? And I'm like, roll the window up. I'm not sure about this. And you see people that you can't help but look around and see people that have a wrecked life. Sometimes it's on the outside. Sometimes it's just on the inside. Many times people that it looks like they've got it all figured out, but on the inside, it's a wrecked life. There's no hope. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no love. It's very empty. But this man, he was a loved man, and Jesus Christ came his way. And as Jesus got off that ship, he was going directly to one person. It was this man that would be considered this maniac of Gadara. And as he went there, and he went to talk to this man, Jesus loved him. There's not a single person that Jesus Christ that God does not love. There's not a single person that God does not care about. There's not a single person that God does not want to be with him for all eternity. He was a loved person. Aren't you thankful that God loves you when you were unlovely? Aren't you thankful that God loves you when you were not looking for God? That someone came your way and told you about Jesus Christ, or Jesus came by your way when you didn't deserve it, when maybe no one seemed to care or love you, but God loved you. Aren't you thankful for the love of God? For God so loved the world. Amen? That God loves you. And realize this, that God loves you just as much as he loves anybody else. Think about that for a minute. There's not a single person that God does not love, and there's no one that God loves more than another person. Now, you can draw closer to God, and he'll draw closer to you. God loves his children, but there's not a single person that God has ever created that God does not love, and that God does not want to be with him for all eternity, and that God loved this man. Maybe no one else cared about him. Maybe no one else seemed to try to help him other than to chain him up, but he was loved by God. You know, maybe today you're going through a difficult time and you think no one cares about me. No one loves me. There's no hope. There's no future. Remember this. You look up and realize that God loves you. God has an unconditional love. It's a love unlike any of us will ever know on this earth. But someday in heaven, we'll know and understand the unconditional and the perfect love of God. There's times where you maybe choose to love someone and not love them and fall in and out of love. However, that may seem to happen, but God will never stop loving you. Amen? He'll never, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter how far away from God you get, this person you look at and think, how could God love someone that walked away from God and was in that place in their life? But God loves them just as much as God loves you. That's why at Shasta Baptist Church, we do everything that we can to tell people that God loves them, that God died for them, and that God wants every single person to be with them in eternity. Not everyone appreciates us telling them that. Not everyone wants to be invited to church. Did you notice that? Not everyone wants to hear about God and live for God. And we get every once in a while a phone call or an email for someone that wants to remind us of that. But God loves that person either way. Amen? He loves them no matter what. God loves us with an unconditional love. I'm thankful for that. Because again, when I had that wrecked life in sin, when I was on my way to hell, and that's what I deserved, he did just as much as you and just as much as me, that God reached out and he said, I love you. Does that ever capture your heart and your mind that God loves you? That God cares for you. The Bible says in the book of 1 John that God is love. Never forget it, that God loves you. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, God loves you. He doesn't love sin. He doesn't love when we walk away from God but has to punish sin. But God will never stop loving you. Not a single person that God does not love. As you see this here, when you talk to this man, in verse number 30, look at this please if you would. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" God, Jesus knows everything. He never asks a question for no reason. He asks it on purpose. He had a point to what he was asking this question. He says, "What is thy name?" And he answered and said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. He didn't even know his name anymore. He wasn't even speaking for himself, but was possessed by the demons in there. And the demons had asked for him not to torment them, and they besought him and that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And so Jesus Christ took the demons, and he cast them out. And I'm thankful that Jesus Christ has power over Satan, and he cast these demons out and sent them into the swine, and they ran down the hill violently. They ran down the hill, and they cast themselves into this lake, and they were drowned. And those that fed him, look at verse number 34, and they were choked. And then in verse number 34, it says, "And they that fed him saw what was done, and they fled." That'd be a scary sight, watching this herd of swine trampling down this hill and going down into the lake and drowning themselves. You thought, something's got into the sheep, or I'm sorry, into the pigs, and we're out of here. And they took off. They started to see what was happening, and they went and told it to the city, and they said, "Something is happening out there with the crazy man." Said, "I don't know what he did this time, but he got into the pigs somehow." And they went running down there. And then you look in the next verses here, and then verse number 35, when these people that were told about this man, when they came back to see what happened, verse 35, "And when they went out to see what was done, they came to Jesus." Amen? And when they came to Jesus, the Bible says, "And they found the man out of whom the devils were departed." They weren't there anymore. "Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid." They had no reason to be afraid anymore, because this man that was out of his mind, that the demons were cast out, and Jesus had saved this man sitting at his feet, and he was clothed and listening to Jesus Christ. They had never seen this man this way before. Something had changed. Amen? Something had changed. You ever seen someone before and said something has changed in their life? Something has changed, and that something is Jesus. Amen? That something is Jesus. They got saved. They got saved. And when you get saved, the Bible says old things are passed away. All things are become new. And God changed his life. You know, God can change his life just as much as he changed your life, and just as much as he can change anyone's life. He was a changed man. It was clear, and the change happened on the inside out. On the inside out. See, before, they tried changing the outside and probably tried giving him clothes and chaining him up, all the problems that he had. But God changed his life. Jesus Christ made a change that no one else could change, that no program could change, no psychologist could change, no earthly plans could change, but Jesus changed his life. Amen? Aren't you thankful that God can change a life unlike any other person? And he changed his life. And he was sitting at his feet. The people were afraid. And look, if you will, at verse number 36. "And they also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils were healed." Look, continue down reading a few more verses. And it says, "Then the whole multitude of the country, the Gadarenes round about, besought him to depart from them." It says, "For they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. And the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away." They were afraid of what Jesus had done. Think about that. They were afraid of who? Jesus. The one that changed this man's life. The one that things were clearly different. They said, "You need to leave us." And he went out into the ship. And this man that wanted to live in the tomb said, "I want to be with Jesus now." See, when you get saved, it changes your purpose in life. It changes where you want to go, how you look, the people you want to spend time with. It changes everything when you meet Jesus. And he said, "Jesus, I want to go with you.
Would you take with me with you in the ship? I want to be one of your disciples. I want to be with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away, saying in verse number 39, he says, return to thine own house and show how, what's the next two words? Great things. Amen. Not little things, how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. He went and told everyone, Jesus saved my life. Let me tell you about the Savior. And when you get saved and God does a work in your heart and in your life, you have to tell somebody. Do you remember the day that you got saved? You remember that? Remember when God saved your soul? He changed your eternity, changed your life, changed everything. I remember that day I got saved, 9-year-old boy. And I remember that afternoon, went to my grandparents' house, where we went to church there, and we'd go have lunch there the afternoon. And while they were getting lunch ready, my sister and cousin and I were walking down the road to pick blackberries. And they were way out in the country, and the only thing to do was to go pick blackberries, I guess. I'm not sure if they sent us or we went on our own. But I remember talking to them and thinking, something has changed. Amen? Something is different in my heart the day that I asked Jesus Christ to save me. And didn't you want to go tell somebody about him? Tell someone, God saved me. I want to tell you how God can save you as well. And Jesus told him, go and tell him how great things that God had done. And guess what he did? He went and told everyone the great things that Jesus had done in his life. It's sad, though, that sometimes a young Christian, someone that's just saved, wants to tell people about Jesus Christ. But then sometimes we get too old and dignified in our Christian life to care to tell someone about the Lord. May we never get over the fact that we're still saved from the same hell and the same life before when we met Jesus, and I'm still saved and God is still doing great things in my life. And don't you want to tell someone about him? How can you keep it to yourself? If it was great back then, isn't it still great today? If it was a great salvation years or decades ago, it's still a great salvation today. And guess what? That salvation that God gave to you, he offers to all. Everybody. There's not a single person. He's not willing that any should perish. Any. But that all should come to repentance. Now I want you to look down at verse number 40, after he went and told him all the things that God had done in his life. He had a testimony, didn't he? He had a reputation. Everybody knew who he was, where he'd been. But in verse number 40, after he told everyone, it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly, what? Received him. For they were all waiting for him. Remember what happened? They sent him away and said, Jesus, you need to leave. We're afraid. We don't know what you're doing. They were fearful and sent him away. They were fearful. But after this man told him what Jesus Christ had done, when Jesus came back, the Bible says, when he returned, the people gladly received him. Amen. And they were all waiting for him. He got a whole crowd of people together. I love it when a Christian goes and finds someone else and say, you need to come with me to church. Amen. You need to come with me. I need to tell you about Jesus Christ who saved my life. May it be when Jesus returns. When Jesus comes back, and he's coming again soon, that you'd bring a whole group of people with you to say, hey, I want you to come to heaven with me. Wouldn't that be great? You're going to heaven, that's great, but don't you want to bring someone with you when Jesus returns? When he comes back, don't you want to find your mother and your father, your brother? Find a relative, find a co-worker, a neighbor, and say, I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. I want to tell him how great things that God has done for me in my life. And when Jesus comes back and say, this is the Savior that I was telling you about. This is the Jesus, this is the God that saved my life. This man, he was an empty man. He was a tormented man. He was rejected by all society. But Jesus Christ still loved him. Amen? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, don't you want to know him? The same way that God saves one person is the same way that he saves another. He died on the cross to pay for your sins and mine. He shed his perfect blood. He was the perfect sacrifice and the only way to heaven. The Bible says in John 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. He is the only way to heaven. Do you know him? The Savior wants to know you to know that he loves you, that he's here to help you, that he can save your soul. Salvation is not offered by a church. It's not offered by religion. It's not offered by good works. It's only through Jesus Christ that he shed his blood on that cross. And he went to the tomb, and 3 days later, he rose again to offer salvation. Don't you want to know that Savior today? If you've never trusted in him as your Savior, wouldn't you like to trust in him today? If you already know him, don't you want to tell someone about him? You say, who should I tell? Everyone. Who should I tell? Anyone. Go and tell the whole world how great things that God has done in your life. Has he done great things in your life today, Christian? Amen. Has God saved you? You on your way to heaven? If he's done great things for you, let it show on your face. Amen. If he's done great things for you, it should show up on your lips. It should show up in your life that when God saves you, he changes your eternity, but it should be a change in our life as well. Head bowed and eyes closed, please. If you don't know for sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven, wouldn't you like to know that?